Welcome to Old Trafford, Niger Branch.
Home of sly tackles, red cards, yellow cards, and 93rd minute screamers from outside the box.
Home to sure 3 points, trebles, and all Niger Red Devils around the world.
We are defenders, the vex, and strikers, I date ye.
So, adjust your shin guard, tie your boots, and increase your volume small.
Ready?
Now let the match day begin.
Good evening, everyone. Yeah, welcome back to another episode of Red to the Bones podcast. We took a short break, a very short break, but we are back now and we have another episode for you on a very glorious day. A very glorious day at the Emirates. With me today, I have familiar faces. And I'm not sure if others have been on the podcast before, but yeah, moving on. We have two people with me. I have Olariwaju and Oz. They'll just be giving... I'm sure I remember Olariwaju from the episode where we... Kamasha winners the league. So we have him back again on the show. And he will be introducing himself to you. Olariwaju, give us a short introduction.
Yeah, my name is Tijani Idris Olariwaju. So I'm known as Larynx Ojazadi. And I retract my words from those episodes you're talking about. So, you know, I think I've seen the light. And but glory, glory, Man United. Let's go.
Are you saying you don't think Masha can win as the league
anymore?
Yeah,
but actually, it's not even about thinking anymore. Like, it's not going to happen.
Okay. Thank you very much for that clarification. Oz, give us a quick introduction of yourself, please.
I'm going by Oz. This is my first time on the podcast, and I'm actually very, very happy to be here as well. And I have a lot for next
week. Okay, no problem. Thank you very much. As always, people know me already. My name is Dare. I'm your host for today. Agenda today is obviously the review of the match today. We played Arsenal at the Emirates Stadium. No surprises, we lost, but we've not won at the Emirates Stadium like forever. So we lost 3-1. Give us your review of the match.
Yeah, actually, I missed most part of the match. Let me not say most. I think like 30% of the match because I was on transit and it was raining, so the signal was not so good. But the parts that I watched, I think we still have a lot to do. Maybe because we have many players out injured, but I think we tried in the first half. The second half, we had our own chances. We controlled a little bit of the game and we could have scored even without the one that VAR overturned. We could have actually scored a couple of goals or maybe one. But like it has always been for a while now, we've not been able to score. Like, I don't know why.
In your opinion, which video was better? First or the second half?
So, I just think maybe if our injured players come back, like, you know, if we have them back in the squad, I think we'll be able to do something. But as regards to this match, it was not so good. And, you know, it was a very poor performance all around. We could have been lucky to win the game, but the luck was not even there.
Okay. I asked the question earlier. I was saying, in your opinion, which was better, the first or the second half?
In my opinion, I would say the first half.
Alright.
I would say the first half. Because the second half, I don't know, maybe the players were tired or something. I don't even know. But we are just lacking that sharpness and the morale is not really there. I don't know what's going on. So
I have a question. You mentioned players being injured, but to be honest, we really don't have that much. You mentioned injured players, right?
Yes.
But if we look at it, we have Shaw injured and Mount injured. Let's not even go into Mount. But if we're looking at Shaw, the person that deputized for Shaw was Dalot. And I'm sure you agree with me that Dalot was quite decent in this game. So I wouldn't say the injury to Shaw really posed that much of a disruption to our rhythm. So I'm not sure I would agree on that injury. Are you talking about maybe Martinez injury in the match?
Everything. Varane is not there. So.
Oh yeah, I forgot Varane.
Varane is not there. And even talking about Shaw, it's not like I really like him or I rate him that much. He's good, but I just feel, you know, he has that partnership with Rashford that I think they could have done something. Yeah, Dalot played really well. He had a good game. So there's no, we cannot take that away from him. He had a good game. But, you know, there's that synchronization. Like, I don't know, the way they flow on that flank along Rashford alongside Shaw. There's the way they flow and, you know, they can create something. Like, we're lacking it today. At the back line too. Yeah, after Martinez got injured, everything just scattered. He had to use God, I beg. He had to use your brother. Yeah, his other brother too. I don't know. Ah, God.
Okay. What do you think? What do you think of the performance of Andre Onana today?
Yeah, Andre Onana. Like, if you want, do you want the agenda side or the realistic side?
Any one of them, please. We are open to everything. This is a discussion.
Yeah, because you know that you people, you don't like the truth. When we were going to sign Onana, I stated it, though I was dragged numerous times, but I said that we need to do some things before this guy can drive. I actually wish it was Kenshin on this episode with me. I would have loved it better because he was just running his mouth. I don't know why people don't want to use, they don't want to think, like, you don't want to think outside of what is going on. It was obvious that our squad, when it comes to ball playing from the back, our former goalkeeper was just as bad as majority of the team players when we talk about playing out from the back. And the evidence is there now because everybody knows Onana. He's proven. He has done it numerous times. You know, he has done it many times. But now, he cannot do it. What is the problem? The problem is still there. Many people told us, including you, that you told us that once we sign this guy, that we'll be on top of the world. And I said that it is not really going to be like that because our players cannot do the basics. It was evident today. Like, they cannot do the basics. Like, just this place where I was supposed to pass and I pass. This place I was supposed to turn and I turn. They don't do it. So, Onana cannot be blamed. Yes, he conceded 3 goals, but he cannot be blamed like that. But on the agenda side, no, he's going to get all of the blame because agenda does not care. There's no reality in this agenda thing, and you know about it.
There's no right or wrong. Only
yeah,
agenda.
There's no right, there's no lie, there's nothing. Just face your bias and, you know, go on with it. But we are talking about the progress of the team here. So we shouldn't be letting the agenda cover the reality. It is evident that Onana can do this thing. We just need the right set of people to be with him. Like, I think if you want to say something.
Yeah,
okay,
no, yeah,
so maybe Amrabat comes into the fold. Maybe we have that stability that we really need. Because we are not really stable when we want to start our attack. Like, the stability is not there. We just need that person, or maybe one or two persons that will be able to help us, like, hold off pressure and use the ball. That will be able to progress, even if it's not progress, but be able to absorb the pressure and give us a progressive pass. So, I'm not going to blame Onana. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to blame him. Because this thing is about the team.
But Larry, hold on. When you play out of the back, are you talking about taking the ball all the way? Or just playing out of the strength?
No. It's not like taking the ball all the way. You know, if you look at Casemiro now and Eriksen, when they get the ball, they kind of release it hastily. Like, they don't want to take much time on the ball. They don't want to attract the opposition. And the reason is because they cannot cope with the pressure.
Okay. But the reason why I ask that question is because if we're talking about maybe just playing out of defense, we did that today, right?
Yes, exactly.
But you know, I don't know if you read my observation. It seems like Arsenal actually allowed us to do it because they knew that they could not actually stop us from doing it because of the change in our
keeper. Yes.
But up top, you see, and I think when Tenag said something about, oh, the midfield is, I wouldn't say it's not bad, it's not so bad when it comes to, like, you know, progressing the ball and defending, it was not so bad. The problem was from the front.
Yes, that's the I
would think many people misquoted it. I'm sure that was very evident today.
Yes,
because we could take the ball out of defense.
Yes,
but immediately it got to the front, the ball was not staying in the front.
Yes,
we couldn't keep the ball in the front.
I was going to reach that point. You know, the kind of midfielders that we have now, they release the ball one time, like in seconds, they give the ball to the attackers. But the attackers are not able to hold the ball. So we cannot change our attack. We cannot change all of our attack. But we can change something in our midfield. So, and that is the Amrabat profile. You know, if giving them the ball hastily would lead to, you know, maybe losing possession, then we can bring in somebody that can actually help us hold the ball a little bit more. So that they will have some seconds to settle before the attackers will have some seconds to settle before they get the ball. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get you.
So the midfielders are doing their job. But, you know, once you give the ball hastily to somebody like Rashford or Martial, you know, he's going to lose it.
All right.
But
okay, thank
if
you
there's
very
somebody
much.
That can collect the ball and give them like 2 seconds to settle, then give them the ball, I think we'll be able to perform.
All right. Thank you very much. Shepard, I guess Shepard is connected back.
Yes.
So I was going to ask for your review of the match.
Review of the match. Well, I would say the second half was the better half. Though I disagree with that. Yes, the first half we managed to score a goal out of nothing, but the second half were more dangerous, if you ask me. So, and honestly, I think Garnacho's goal looked at that clip like a couple of times now, and I honestly think it was an offside. But that's a story.
But for me, your first look, it was offside for me. That's why I told you I didn't celebrate for the goal.
Yeah, but you know that if you look at that line they drew here, they were using Saliba's shoulder. But Saliba's head was further in than the shoulder. Why were they using the shoulder when his head was deeper? So I don't understand that line. But let's just leave that for that. I'll put our defeat down to a couple of things. I think the substitutions, our backline, having to remove our first pairing of centre backs. That was not good. Second goal, I think there was a foul on Johnny Evans, FA knows whatever.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, and the third goal, that was just normal counter attack. We scored that a multiple of times also as United. United was scored that also. So it's just the game wasn't just our own, basically. We had chances.
I was going to ask a question on that court. Do you think that Onana done better?
Yes, I honestly think that Onana could have rushed out.
Yes, that was FD. Yes.
See, well, we claim this guy is a sweeper keeper, but for a couple of games now, we've seen him actually do that. The goal against Nottingham Forest, he literally ran back to his post. If you're a sweeper, why are you running back to your post? Stand like approach before. That not meant to be you're meant to be comfortable outside the box. You're meant to be comfortable rushing towards the ball, rushing towards danger. We call it DDG linesman, everything. So similar, it looks like that's what Nana used to. So it's a very funny thing. If you speak, they'll say it's agenda, but agenda day, yes. But still, he could have done better for sure. He didn't rush, he didn't put pressure, he didn't do anything. He basically gave Gabriel enough time to think about the game, calm down, and this is finished. So,
well, be as it may, I actually agree with you on that note. When I saw, I thought the guy should be doing better.
Yeah.
Because so far, in situations like that, even if you do not necessarily go out because of the speed at which you don't probably want to concede, you don't get red something. But yeah, I feel his profile of goalkeeping, he should be coming out more and making himself bigger, making himself bigger. But
yeah,
as you said, he just stayed back, waited for Gabriel to pick his angle. And then even when Gabriel picked his angle, he made himself the way he was positioned and the way he leaned to, he made himself very small.
Yeah.
So that kind of chance to rush out, make yourself big. So even though you are not going to catch that ball, it can eat your leg, it can eat your hand, it can go to
exactly.
But I feel we could have done better for that goal.
See, even the second goal, if I'm being honest, he shouldn't be getting beat at his net as well. His rookie.
Yeah, that was a deflection.
No, we can
do that. That was a deflection.
That was a deflection, and then he deflected off Johnny Evans, and he deflected off.
Well, if he's going to get his hand on that one, I think he should be saving it. So that's just me being.
But for the third goal, I don't think he's being better.
Even the first goal, I think he should. He wasn't positioned properly for the first goal. Honestly, if you're being honest, he wasn't positioned. But let's just leave that to pure natural good finishing. But I think we also dragged DDG for that. Now, the position for the first goal wasn't perfect. But let's just leave that to very good finishing.
That's all right. As I asked Larry, which of the athletes was better, and I think you already answered that already by saying the second half was better, which I agree as well. The first half, yes, we got that goal, but I think in the first half, we were able to keep the ball forward more. As in most of our shots, I remember I was checking 35, and at some point, we already crossed like the 10 shot mark. Yeah. And before the second half, I'm not sure we had up 5 shots.
Yeah,
you see.
Right. So in the second half, we were able to, take the ball forward more, try and test the goalkeeper more and all that. And personally I think the second half was better. We could have held up for it, bro.
Yeah. The thing is we could have done a lot of things better actually. After scoring a goal in the first half, it's very, very comical that we concede less than a minute after.
In my own opinion, it wasn't surprising to me.
It wasn't what?
It wasn't surprising to me.
Wow, it was. Like, I was still celebrating. I just went in to eat myself. Under
Arsenal, Man United, same thing happened. I think it was under Ole as well. Same thing happened. Last season against American, same thing happened. Wow. He always goes where we score. In fact, that 2-2 was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. We thought that.
It's been
a recurring thing against Man United Arsenal. So I wasn't surprised when it happened.
Well, can we use officiating as an excuse for this defeat? Because I think we have a case for that.
No, we don't have a case for this.
But there was a penalty on Hoyland. I genuinely think there was a penalty on Hoyland.
No, that's
a penalty. That's a penalty. Then I just go. It's a goal.
If you also put it in officiating, Onana should have been sent off.
Okay.
What time wasting?
Oh, he did that multiple times. Yeah.
Yes, in the first half, and he never got a card for it.
Yeah. He got one.
He got a card in the second half, not in the first half. He did it multiple times. This thing has to actually go and warn him. Anthony Taylor has to go and warn him. And the Arsenal
that's not severely as affecting the game as
we had our fair share as well.
No, see, the bigger cause that we didn't get were bigger. How would you cancel that Ghana chose goal? Honestly, at first glance, I touched on onside. I'm not going to lie.
Another referee that is not as experienced as Anthony Taylor will actually give that advanced penalty. Do you know that? It's not a penalty, yeah?
No, but
another Taylor will give that penalty.
But Taylor gave it now. Taylor gave it.
Because
there's no way after review that you give that penalty. I don't think, no matter
you know what I said that. Let me explain. Yes, on when he made the tackle, there was no contact. But if you look at when Havertz held him, he went to look for the contact and there was contact. I didn't experience the proof.
But do you know that for him to be called to the screen to review it?
Because it was 50-50, that's why it was called. It was not 50-50 though, that's why I said it's a penalty, it's not a penalty.
It has to be a clear and obvious error.
Yeah, because it was not clear, that's why it was called to review it.
So it has to has to be clear before they call him to review it. It can't be 50-50 and they'll call him. If it's 50-50, they'll leave it. It has to be clear, and a clear error, then they'll call him to review. Is that not what we are?
No, it's... No. The way it was, if they look at it, right, and they say this is a penalty, they are going to give it. They won't call him.
Exactly.
Yeah, see.
They will tell him it's a penalty.
They actually,
if it's not a penalty,
something is wrong in some way. That's why.
If they are not sure, and they need interpretation of the ref to say, okay.
No.
Oh, yeah, see, all right. We think it might be this. We think it might be this. But you think it's different. Oh, yeah, come and check.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. If they have a conversation, oh, this is what we saw. There was contact, but it wasn't initiated by Wan-Bissaka. What did you see? Oh, I thought Wan-Bissaka initiated contact. Oh, yeah, come and see that Wan-Bissaka did not initiate contact. So I don't get if they call a referee to display. I don't get how a referee
sees that. Yeah, we've seen those kind of penalties get called now.
Yes,
and they've been controversial. But because he didn't fight an experienced referee, he didn't call it. That's what I'm saying. Yes. When you put he had calls to our favor, they had calls.
Normally, I don't like seeing Anthony Taylor referee our games, honestly.
You know that?
They cannot be perfect.
Today they were too biased towards Arsenal, and I'm actually very honest.
Mm. Obviously, Arsenal were at home now. What do you expect?
That shouldn't be like, that Garnacho goal is a goal, and that's a goal.
Let's
that goal is a goal. I need fans to actually review that clip. That thing was a goal, and that was a winner. So I don't this game I can
that
actually
was a winning goal now. Like
exactly. I can pick my chest and say that the referees cost us the game. So it's a funny excuse to use because on paper and on the basis of the game, Arsenal were the better side, but it's still an excuse that's usable. So that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Because we could have won the game now.
No, we are going to win the game. If Galatasaray goal has stood, we are going to, because the momentum was going to be on our side. Arsenal were going to push to get an equalizer and we'll be open to more counter attacks. So The thing was very funny that they called it off action. I was very, very surprised.
All right, no problem. We spent too much time on the game. So going on to the next series, we are going to do a review of the transfer window. We did make some interesting signing and we made some signing. But one notable thing in the transfer window was the issue of financial fair play that made most of our signings to drag on. Now, Olariwaju.
Yeah, boss.
What's your take on financial fair play? Considering the fact that Man United were fined at the beginning of the transfer window for violations last summer and the summer before.
Okay.
The officials are saying it was a signing of Sancho and Antony that cost us. Nobody knows. They just said they didn't tell us the exact violation, but they said we violated in those two. And then in this window, United were trying to take precautions so as not to get fined again. One of those precautions was getting Amrabat on a loan rather than a direct transfer. So what's your opinion on financial fair play and how it affected our window?
Actually, I do know that financial fair play exists. Yeah, I know that it is real, but you know, talking about Manchester United, these people, they don't run us. Like, the owners have done too many things to believe them. Like, we cannot just believe them like that. Because they have done so many wrongs, some things that cannot even be said outside. So, as for me, I don't believe that financial fair play is the reason why we couldn't sign more. I think it is just like some sort of fugazi or something, like they are just using to cover up.
Yeah. Well, all right, given the fact that the Blazers into the club and the club is quite self-sufficient. That means the money we spend is the money that is coming. And there was news at the beginning of the window that they were quite the number of transfers in the past that we had agreed on installments, and some of the installments were due.
Okay.
Do given those facts, are you still of the opinion that we shouldn't be looking at, okay, what are the impacts of us taking certain
let's take it in another, let's look at it from another angle. We were fined 300k, right? I think PSG, they were fined like 10 million, or so.
Just were fined it, they fined 8.6 million. We're fined 10 million.
Okay. Did that stop them from actually signing more players?
I would say not necessarily. I'm saying compare context, right?
Yeah.
Now, we sold players, right? Or we don't know the prices that we sold, but this window, we had the highest outgoings at the club I've seen in a while. I think we had like 23 outgoings. That's a lot.
Yes.
And most of them were actual steals, not released. But looking at us, that is self-sufficient, right? Man United as a club, we make our money from head sales, sponsorship and all that stuff. Glazers.
I know.
Now, if we look at Chelsea, one, Chelsea's debt.
Okay.
And they have an owner that has signed a contract that he must spend £1 billion on the club before he can take out £1 of the debt.
Okay.
If you look at PSG, do I need to explain to you? Those guys are oil.
Whatever. I understand. But
and looking at PSG, even though this season they were, because they said when PSG were banned from even making signings at all, because they had violated financial terms. So we should know that by now PSG is not there.
But can I speak? No
extra funding for the owner. Why are you now saying, oh, the club didn't look at it? I'm not saying we violated FFP this somehow.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Is, like, why do you think we should be taking measures not to violate?
Okay, that is, this summer, let's forget every other thing. We were fined for Anthony and Anthony signing. Okay, thanks.
Speculation, that's not guaranteed.
Because we actually don't know why you're fine.
But it was now, just speculation, because those were the eye signing for those windows.
Okay, but now look at this window. Will you sign any big money player like that?
No. He signed 60 million, signed 55 million, he signed Oilion for 85 million. Those are three big signings.
And on top of that, we sold players too. Do you understand? Like,
yeah, we saw, that was actually, we had the highest outgoing.
So, if we can actually sell a lot of players and sign less, so why should we be afraid of FFP? Because there's actually nothing FFP is going to do to us, in my own opinion. The reason is that we released a goalkeeper who was earning the highest in the club. We released him. We got another one. We released our second goalkeeper that was on loan. We sold him. We sold him and we bought another goalkeeper for lesser amounts. And also, his wages, I'm sure, will be lesser than that of Henderson. That's on the part of goalkeeping. Our back line, we brought somebody in on loan because we had two injuries. So in the midfield, we sold Fred. And I will say we signed Amrabat. But, wait. So we sold Fred and we signed Amrabat. So I know that we sold Fred for less and we maybe. Okay, Amrabat is even on loan.
Yes, because we signed him on loan because we did not want to.
Let's say those are the measures we took
because we could not get Van der Beek out. So we have to take other measures.
No. Let's say we signed Mount instead of using Amrabat. Mm-hmm. Let's be sold Fred and we signed Smout. So that's the only part that is not like for life. Like the wages is not the same as that of Fred and the amount is not the same. So we got Oilon because we actually needed a striker. And Greenwood just out of the club. So to be saying Amrabat is the only player that we are bringing in, like he's not coming to replace anybody. He's not he's not coming in because somebody is going out. So why should he be fined because of ordinary signing, just one loan signing, or maybe?
But Larry, if we're looking at this thing, right? Before we could get a deal done for Amrabat, we had to confirm that this guy was going out, Dean was going out, and instead of Vanderbilt going out, we had Greenwood go out. And then we sold Brado.
Can I say something?
Yeah, you can say something.
Number one, FFP has to do with your expenses. That's like the money you spend and your wage.
In relation to the money that you make.
Yes, I agree. Okay, now you are saying that we could not confirm Amrabat coming in because we had to release money off our expenses and everything. But we are still, and you people want to use Greenwood as an excuse. We are still paying Greenwood. We are still the one covering majority of his salary. And we still paid a whooping amount for Amrabat coming to come on loan. So, see, I'm not saying that we are not under...
But then, if you look at it, Amrabat coming on loan is a smarter choice because we've not seen any report regarding his wages. If we know the way wages work, while he's on loan, we are paying the wages that he's earning at Fiorentina.
Yes, I understand, and I've never been against him coming on loan. But all I'm saying is the FFP cover, basically, I've always said it has been deployed by the Blazers. Yes, we are under but it has always been an avenue for them to come and be like, oh yes, we have FFP issues, we can actually do what we want to do. Because Mate was looking...
I think you guys are getting it wrong.
Can I say something?
No, we can't do this. We can't do things because we are going to potentially break or violate FFP rules. That's why we couldn't get Amrabat straightforwardly now. That's why we couldn't buy it outrightly. So what
can
I'm
I
say saying,
yes, because I'm we're saying, trying not
yes,
to.
Not to. Have I understand. FFP. I understand. What I'm saying is, it also helps our excuse because we can miss out on Amrabat and we go, oh, well, we couldn't do it.
Exactly now.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you know, talking about expenses, I mentioned earlier that apart from we are buying players, we are signing players. One of the things we had this season, we have lots of installments from past transfers that are due this summer.
Are those
expenses when we are considering financial fairs?
Teams like Nottingham Forest, how are they doing it? Like, how did they take one?
No, Nottingham Forest is understanding because they made
money from staying in the PL now.
They made money now. Are they not paying?
But they don't have outstanding debts now. They probably don't have as much debt as we have.
The players they are signing are not really. You are making one player, you are signing for 85 million. That 85 million, Nottingham Forest have used to sign like 3 or 4 players.
Yeah.
The wage that one person is collecting in Manu, Nottingham Forest will pay that wage to like two or three players.
It is the same thing in terms of revenue that we generate. We are generating almost double or triple of what we are generating.
Than them.
What is it?
You have more expenses than them.
The thing is, I understand what Larry is saying because we had financing debts that the Blazers collected to buy the club. We are going to pay Blazers dividends. We are going to pay outstanding transfer fees. Then we are still going to finance transfers for this summer. We are going to upgrade some contracts. We are going to pay players. I understand all that.
Bear in mind, when it comes to expenses, we're also expanding the stadium as well.
Yes, no, but that doesn't count. According to FFP rules, infrastructure
doesn't count. Okay, let's leave that out.
Infrastructure and youth team expenses doesn't count. But what I'm saying is, we have to be clever so as not to breach FFP rules at all. Yes, I understand. But they don't stop auto.
But then, if you are looking at it, we are not the only club that also did this thing. Arsenal did it. So when we are looking at it, we are not the only club that acquired.
as I did like this.
It's all about
yeah, anybody can see anything as for me.
Hold
as for me, so. I think that FFP stunt is a lie.
Our photo don't mess up. My cash, I don't go for
you feel it. Oz, what do you think? You, with everything that I've said now, do you still think the FFP stuff is a lie?
No, FFP has a lot of loopholes, and it's very, very annoying that when it comes to
United, you cannot exploit it.
Yes.
Thank you.
We didn't exploit anything. See, PSG still signed Kolo Muani for 90 million without any other person leaving. So explain what happened then. See, what I'm saying is, PSG knows that there's still a way around this whole thing. The Glazers are trying to use FFP as one huge obstruction towards pushing the club forward, and it's very, very annoying.
But like I said, we can't complain about PSG. PSG they have a whole oil state backing them.
I think they should just have those Saudi backing them, right?
Okay. PSG, all they need to do is the same thing they do for Mass. They pop money into the club and they cook the books.
Bro, if but the for you, can go away now.
If Adidas says today, Pere, we are not much.
It is still part of the problem. So the Glazers are also.
Everybody will start shitting on their body. No, the
Glazers.
Two truths can coexist. The Glazers are not good. Their mismanagement at the helms of the club is led us into the point where we have tasks because
the club
shouldn't be considering FFP. Their mismanagement of the club has led us to begin FFP.
Okay then. So I would like to believe that Shepard, Oz and Larry, both of you do not agree that FFP is a problem or was a problem this transfer window.
No, it's not that I don't agree, but I see it was exaggerated.
I don't agree. It was exaggerated.
On my side, it was exaggerated. Actually.
As for me, I don't agree at all. At all.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Being forged.
Wow. we have a third person. He joined us late. The late come about. It's someone that is familiar on the podcast. We have Caleb back on the podcast after a short break. Caleb, just a few lines.
Yeah, it's nice to be back after a week. Coming back, better and stronger. It's more. Anyways, based on this topic.
Caleb, we don't want to drag this topic too much because we still have one more segment to go. So, okay, the question I asked Oz and Larry, do you think FFP was a problem this transfer window?
Yes or no.
Don't go into shalaye.
You don't collect money, you say yes.
Don't shalaye too much. Yes or no?
Yeah, it was a problem actually. I believe it.
It was a problem. Go. It's okay.
You don't listen to instructions. I said yes or no. You don't need to go shalaye.
Then you don't start all this spinning again.
Going on to the third segment, we have player in focus. This has been a very, very interesting segment. In previous segments. A player in focus today is a new signing. This past is no other than our brand new number 7. Chelsea best player for the past.
Please. Can we talk about Rasmus? Please.
Why? Let's talk about Mount is a good player now.
Guys, let's talk about Mount.
How would you rate
one after the other, please? Let's do the color. How would you rate his transfer to Manchester United on a scale of 1 to 10?
That's on the scale of 1 to 10, -7. Because wow. Mount was one transfer that I cannot for the life of me understand. See, I cannot understand what we want with Mount. Like, it is baffling. I'm actually serious. Like, I need an understanding of. Okay, let's go by what we were playing last season. Yeah, we were playing a pivot system with Eriksen and Casemiro, then Bruno up front at the 10. Okay, yes, I understand that Eriksen lacks the energy and the the sustainability to play that role for a full 90 minutes. I get that. Okay, you want energy, you want sustainability, you want someone that can last the whole game while doing a specific type of role. I understand. But then when you look at Mount doesn't look like... Mount has the energy, yes. But then Mount is more of a Bruno than he is an Eriksen. I don't understand if I'm making sense.
Yeah, I get you.
Mount is more of a 10 than an 8 or a 6 or a DLP. So unless the signing of Mount was a Bruno backup, then I'm fine. If it wasn't a Bruno backup, if it was to replace Eriksen in that midfield, then that's a very, very funny choice from Ten Hag, and okay. I don't understand it wrong.
Going on to Caleb, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate the transfer of making Mount to Manchester United?
I'll give it a 6, right? With the potential of like an 8. Because like currently in terms of he's not exactly the best one that we can actually be. And currently based on the team aren't exactly playing up to expectations. So to be fair, if you are judging in the team performance that has not been exceptional, yeah. Okay. Just to a new team, new set of facts again.
Okay. We'll get back to more in-depth details. Let's move on to Larry. Larry, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the transfer of Mason Mount to Manchester United?
For me, I would say it's 8 for me.
8? That's 8. Quite generous.
Yeah.
Guy, wait,
one question, please. That's quite generous.
Yes. You know,
that's not generous, actually. That's extremely...
It's not even generous. It's just there. The thing is there for us to see. The boy is going to play. And he's going to play fine.
Wow.
During preseason, the manager said that we want to change our style. That we are trying to do some sort of transitions and stuff like that. So if you look at our midfield, Mount is that person apart from Bruno that can last in that kind of system. That's number one. I said something when I was reviewing today's game, Darry. I don't know if you remember when I talked about our holding midfielders. I said they were releasing the ball hastily, and that was why our attackers cannot really cope with it. So I think by the time everything works out, Mount will be the one to help us in that area because he's a little bit press resistant. And he actually do the job that the coach wants. If Amrabat is the progressive pass, I think progressive carries through the middle is very valid, and I am very much in support until anything goes wrong.
Okay. For me, I think I'll give it like a 5. While I can give excuses as to why we signed guy, I genuinely don't understand why we signed him. Mount plays well. If you look at his performance, when you play him off the wing, when he plays off the wing, that's why we're trying to play the 4-3-3 stuff, because you either play him as a RM or you play him as a right winger or a left winger, and he will deliver for you where you can get at the end of us to score.
Yes.
Make late runs into the box, play crosses into the box. Game against Spurs. Yeah, the game where he took Bruno to the right wing, played Mount as a 10, and then later he changed it back. And immediately he changed it back. He took Bruno back to 10, took Mount to the right wing. The way we played changed. Mount started putting we're looking a bit more dangerous. That's where Mount functioned well. And looking at our team, I don't think we have the facility for that kind of player.
We are trying to create it now.
Yes, we need better. Mount being a certain specialist, I can understand them thinking. So I'm trying to wrap my head around the why of signing him.
But I think you guys said we should trust the coach now. So
I'm still on the side of trusting the coach.
So you don't need to wrap anything. Just
at the end of the day, I can state that I don't understand why he did that. I trust him.
My bro.
But then
when it was Onana's case, we all trusted the coach. So please believe.
No, it's not even that first told me to trust the coach when I wanted to sign Antonio.
Bro, trust the coach.
I was saying that we didn't need that kind of profile of winning.
The only thing I know right now is that.
And I'm still trusting.
All of us, we are trusting the coach. Even on this Evans matter, we are all trusting the coach.
Well, like, I'm not trusting anybody.
Oz, I want to ask you a question when you talk about considering the fact that we sold Fred. Do you think that Mount signing would have made a little bit more sense? Because losing Fred was losing lots of energy.
That's what I said. Yeah, if Mount was a replacement for Fred or for Bruno or a backup for Bruno, I'm fine. But then we have to remember that Fred was not a starter. Fred was a disruptor. And Mount is not a disruptor. Mount is more. Mount has energy, but he doesn't have that tenacity to be a pest like Fred did. So there's still no way to classify Mount as a replacement for Fred. What Fred was offering in game for us, Mount cannot go far. It makes more sense for Mount to be an Eriksen replacement than for him to be a Fred replacement. Because Fred is more of a... I think if the replacement that Fred, you can call a Fred replacement, it has to be Amrabat.
No. I don't like this. You are not liking me here, guy.
Let him be.
You don't need that Mount is a Fred upgrade.
I never said Mount is not a Fred upgrade.
You are telling me now that he's not naturally his upgrade or something, bro.
No, I'm telling you that he's not naturally his placement. If you want to play progressive,
but how is someone an upgrade on someone if it's not his? Why are you comparing them if it's not the direct replacement?
I don't understand.
No, you can be an upgrade and not be a replacement.
How do you want to be an upgrade for Fred if he's not playing the same role as Fred? Then he's not upgrading on Fred now.
Exactly.
Okay, let me put it this way.
Fred and Mount have different profiles. He can be his replacement.
Wait, you're not talking about profile now. Hold on. We're not talking about bro. We're talking about the role they were playing in the team.
Bro.
Now, if you are saying based on role, now, Oz, if you are saying based on role, Amrabat is his Fred replacement. Yes. Then why in the first place were you comparing Mount and Fred?
You realize that Fred played the number 8 position at times last season.
Oh, see, the funny thing is, Larry is just trying, he's just being emotional right now and trying to.
I'm not emotional.
Okay, see, when I said Mount was an upgrade on Fred, I literally meant football wise, sense wise, ability wise. But
I disagree.
It's fine. But for the role that the instructions and the functions Fred was carrying out for the team as United, Mount is not an upgrade on that. But as a footballer, I'm still coming to that. But as a footballer, Mount is definitely an upgrade on Fred.
I disagree. I don't think Mount is a better footballer than Fred.
As a midfielder, Mount is a better player than Fred. So
I disagree. Can you name one thing that Fred, that Mount can clearly do better than Fred?
Pass the ball.
That's a lie.
No.
Can we push that? Should we push that?
Baba,
Mount is a better player.
Forget that one, bro.
When they released it, they were talking about players that are good with both like their feet. People were expecting Mason Greenwood to be there.
You said I should call something at using both feet.
Yes.
But using being good at using both feet doesn't make you a better
person. Wait, I'm talking at something here.
Wait, that's the
question. Get what's
I don't know who was the best
friend. Ask me why he was the best. Because he completed most passes using both feet.
See, that doesn't push right now.
You can Google it. Now, you are saying Fred.
Let's Google.
Let's Google. Are you talking about crosses or passing?
Passing. Five-yard passing.
Getafe in the Europa League. Mount cannot drop that assist.
Are you kidding me? There are passes that Mount dropped. See, you guys want to make me defend Mount, and I'm not going to do that because I still don't understand.
See, I stand on that. Mount cannot drop that pass that Fred dropped.
See, so there are a lot of things that Mount can do that Fred cannot do also. So let's not even go to that. So
I'm talking about what can he do that. You know that he's going to stay there.
What can he play than Fred? I think he's an upgrade actually.
I don't think so. I don't think he's a better footballer than Fred.
Wow.
You can say he's a better set piece specialist than Fred, but I do not think he's a better footballer than Fred.
Offensively, Mount is a better player.
It's a lie.
Offensively, he's a better player.
What? This is a lie.
Let me tell you, the only thing I think Mason Mount has over Fred is his ball retention and, let me say, press resistance. That's even a little.
wait,
I don't.
Are you guys telling me that Fred is a better passer of the ball than Mason Mount?
That one is very certain. That one is
Fred doesn't even have the passing range of Mason Mount. Let's not bubble.
Now you see that. The first argument was that you compared them.
Larry, chill. When that statement started, I can remember vividly. What you said was, so we are going to replace Fred with Mount. And yes. You were the one that initiated that.
I did, but
I never said that we are going to replace Fred with Mount. All I said I said Fred is better than Mount. No. I never said
Why would you tell me
he's
better
than Mount?
I have brought start.
Even if
Premier League 2020.
Premier League what? Last season, come on. We are going to use last season that Mount barely played. Come on now.
I will use this. It was clearly Chelsea's best level, but we're going to use.
Even if you are saying that Mount is Fred's replacement, is still valid because a replacement does not have the same profile. Fred last season played in the number 8 position sometimes. And this season, Ed looked at it and thought, okay, Mount would be a better player playing the position playing the number 8 position than Fred, which is actually valid because one, he has the work rate. He has the vision. He has the passion.
Caleb, will you allow me call the start or not?
Call the start, please. You guys are okay. Start is here.
Can you hear me?
If you are calling start of last season, I'm not going to acknowledge that start actually.
So, can you hear me?
Yes, but I'm not going to acknowledge the start.
This is 2021-2022. This is not last season.
Okay, go on then.
Accurate passes per 90.
For which season? Premier League
2021-2022. For EPL.
EPL, Fred 49.9, Mount 36.2.
By 90, you.
Igemoji no sorry. Accurate long balls by 90.
Wait, first. You know what you guys are
2.74.
doing?
Allow me to spin now.
Successful dribble 90. 0.9 Fred, Mount 0.69.
You know what you guys are doing? You guys are comparing someone that played in a more conservative role, which is passing, to someone that was more taking more risk, which is passing. Of course, passes completed.
Oh God!
Compare Fred and Bruno in our team. Compare them.
God. If you are talking about minutes,
I don't know what you are saying.
Now, wait.
Chill now. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
I'm on the Premier League page. Chill now.
I'm not done. Chill. For last season that you said you don't want to hear the start, the minutes played between Fred and Mount. Mount played 1,656 minutes. Fred played 1,233 minutes.
Okay, you see?
So Mount clearly played more than Fred.
Okay, I think actually
accurate passes per 19. Okay. Fred, 44.9.
I take back passes.
You take it okay. back. Why? Don't
take why you take it back?
I've seen their stats actually. I'm just looking at their stats as
you don't lose that one, bro.
And that's what I'm saying now. I agree that
Take your L and go. Yeah, what's the next one you want to say?
Attacking stats. Mount is a better attacker.
Obviously, Mount will have better numbers than.
Okay. So and what again do you need from a midfielder?
So
Mount is more versatile than
bro. Want you to face one direction. Are you agreeing that Mount is a Fred's replacement?
No, I never said that. So don't.
So what is this? But I'm looking at one stat now. Last season, right?
Yes.
Last season, Mount got 3 goals.
Uh-huh.
Fred got 2. Yeah, assists. They both had 2 assists together.
And Mount had one of the worst seasons of his career, and Fred had one of the best.
That was a lot. Fred did not have any best of his career last season.
What are you saying? Come on now, let's not go there. Everybody was
under Tenag. Under Tenag, go not under Ragariofin. Under Tenag.
Last season, people were saying that Fred had one of his best seasons at United.
Chances created. They both had 30 chances created.
People are saying, what again are we going to? It's not by people's opinion. What are you saying?
Who are the people?
You yourself, you were saying in the group that why are we selling Fred after one of his good seasons? Did you say that or did you not say that? I can go and pull it.
We both know that
Fred did not play much last season, so I don't know where you brought that.
One of his good seasons and Mount has had the worst season of his career last season, and you are comparing stats, and they are still at.
Bro, now you tell me who is that now?
That goes a lot. Tell you that tells you a lot. It's like comparing.
Bro, you told us to bring stats.
Now you are disputing the stats.
I'm not disputing the stats. The stats are there.
You know what?
You now put the stats into context, and they tell you a lot. So what are you saying?
Larry, what is it?
You see, the problem I have with us right now is that during the transfer window, he and Demola, we are not putting for this thing. Us and Demola, they were telling me that there is nothing I want to say. Mount is better. It's just what they need.
I told you that Mount is what we need. When he's got to the agenda part,
you said he's going to be useful for us. Mother,
pull it. Yes, I agree with that. I see stand by.
Okay, you agree with that. Now,
yes,
he's here, and you are trying to disown the boy that you told me is going to be more useful for us. Tell me what
I don't.
On.
I don't need to be more useful to us than Fred. So I never said.
So why are you giving him -7? I don't, bro.
I want to point out one thing. Chill. It's going to be more useful. It's going to be more useful to us than Fred, right?
Yes.
Now. We can both agree Fred was very useful to that team.
Very, very
giddy.
Now, for what you are saying,
not useful enough.
More useful. Now that you are taking back that is not whatever, it's not playing the same role as
have
Fred,
you.
Right?
Exactly.
You then if it's not playing the same role as Fred, what's the point of comparing their usefulness?
That is one.
Two, for what you are seeing from Mount, do you think he is useful?
Okay, see, listen to me.
I can hear you very clearly.
Now, one, Larry initiated everything. And we all know. Let me talk.
But when Larry initiated it, you can easily have said you are not playing the same role.
You guys all let me talk. Can I defend myself?
Oh, yeah, defend yourself. Defend yourself.
Don't call his name. Don't push the blame. Answer the question.
I'm not pushing the blame. I'm going to speak facts because he initiated. I can't start an agenda and now say that I started the agenda. Where someone started
bro.
The agenda. Larry started the agenda by saying we are going to dump Fred and get Mount. Like, oh my God. And I said to him, both players, Mount is a better player than Fred.
One.
And I said Mount will be useful, more useful to us than Fred.
Two.
Yes. Okay, now, when I say Mount is a better player than Fred, I mean as a whole, as a midfielder, Mount is better. Mount is a better attacker than Fred. Mount
okay.
Is arguable that their work rate are similar, but is arguable that also that Mount is more creative, Mount is more productive than Fred. That's fact. That's number one. Number two, when I say Mount is going to be more useful to United than Fred. Fred, now we know we are going to use Fred when we want to disrupt games. We want to drag out a win. We want to disrupt midfield flow. We want to support Casemiro and when we have been overrun. Abi, that's what we use Fred for basically. Abi?
Yeah, the owner is answering now.
I'm asking you a question. Is that
we
what
Fred does? We don't have our question with question.
We don't
give
know.
Us your
we
point.
You don't know what Fred does for the team.
We don't know. You tell us.
I've told you what Fred does for the team now.
Okay.
Now, how Mount becomes more useful for his versatility that we all know that he has. Mount can play.
Nah, you just copy that one. Now me talk down. Wait, copy.
Wait, Olariwaju. Wait. I'm going to catch us. Don't worry.
Mount can be versatile as a left winger, which we've seen him play. Mm-hmm. Apparently, 8 is not his position, according to Caleb, when he clearly said that 8 is his position. But he can also play 8.
Mm-hmm.
He can also play 10. So, mm-hmm. is that not, I've listed 3 positions that Mount can play for the club. Is that not being...
So, what you say is versatile. Are you saying that he can also play Fred's role or Fred's position?
Gary, can I ask a question?
Now,
are you saying that when you talk about 8, you know, Fred also plays as an 8? Are you saying that he can take Fred? Now, if he can take Fred's position, are you saying he will be more useful in that role than Fred?
Now, you are now, why are you switching the words when you are saying it? Why are you calling position?
No. I'm just asking.
That's what you're doing.
No, this is very simple. Mount is versatile. And I ask, you think you can play that way in the position of Fred? You said yes. You said yes, he can. Now, do you think when you put him in that position or role of Fred, is he more useful than Fred? Yes.
So, when you put him in the position as an 8, Mount can be useful depending on the role. I never
has
said
he been Mount... useful?
No. He has not because he has not been working.
Did you see Mount play as an 8 for Chelsea?
Let me ask this question.
I'm asking specific question. Did you see Mount play as an 8 for Chelsea?
He had some appearances as 8 for Chelsea now, did he not?
How many? And for those appearances, you think he's going to be useful as an 8? Was he productive as an 8?
Personally, I don't see Mount as an 8.
Question. Okay.
You don't see him as an 8.
But you think he's going to be more useful than Fred? Okay, moving on. Caleb, we have time. We are running out of time, so let Caleb speak.
No, chill. I'm going to.
We are running out of time. We are running out of time, so please let Caleb.
Just the merry-go-round.
Can you give me 3 minutes? Let me speak. Number one.
Yes, please.
Fred. Number one, Mount cannot play what Fred was playing for United. That's what role comes in. That's where role comes into play. The whole point of bringing Mount, according to the apologists, the whole point of bringing Mount by ETH was to adapt the role, to switch the role, to play a different format. So you can't be asking me if Mount will be more useful in Fred's role when Fred's role doesn't exist in a midfield that Mount plays. So that what you guys are trying to do is ambushing. And it's not going to work because I'm not
sure
how you guys do it.
I want to pose this question to Dari and Larry. Yeah. So we know that last season, at times the manager played Fred in a more advanced role in the number 8 position, right? And you guys worked in there.
Now, not many times.
I'm coming to that. So. That's why I said sometimes, right? He played sometimes in that number 8 role. Now coming into this,
I think you are very good at spinning, but maybe if you use X. You see, this is your mouth where the Instagram, you don't even work. What are we saying? What are you saying?
I'm just
we are holding us by what he said.
By what he said that you initiated. that you initiated.
Calm down.
If you think Mount is an all-round better player than Fred, the first thing when you were asked to rate Mount signing just a few minutes or let me say an hour ago, you said -7.
Yes,
I said. Which means you think he's not a good player?
Why? No, so which means you think he's not a good player? So that means you contradict yourself.
Answer the question. Wait. Let's not go back and forth. Let's not go back and forth.
But wait.
We are not concerned about the manager here. We are talking about what Oz said before and after.
Wait.
Yes, I said he was a -7 because he does not fit the system we were playing last season.
So you did not know that he did not fit the system.
Wait, guys, hold on. I think I can end this all now, right? Oz has just answered the question for you, Caleb.
No.
He said he doesn't fit into the system. And now he has answered the question for you. So I think we can end it here.
Now, Oz is contradicting himself, yeah?
No, I'm not.
He has answered our question for us. Mount comes into the system as an 8. And you say he doesn't fit into the system. He doesn't fit as an 8.
So the answer to that question is automatically no. Let's move on.
There's no need to parabolate that question.
You just said it now.
You just said it now.
But I said last season. Did I not say last season? Did we know anything before now? Guys, we have our answer to our question.
The answer is no. Let's move on.
Wait, because
Fred cannot do what is required from the date of this season. Fred cannot do it also.
Oz, calm down.
So thank you very much for your submission.
You guys are trying to pick.
Thank you very much for your submission. We have come to the end.
We have come to the end of this episode. We are still going to drag it because we have come to the end of the episode.
Just take your L. I'm not taking any L because you guys are picking words. Thank you very much for your contribution.
Okay, thank you very much for your contribution.
Agenda cannot be straight. Thank you very much for coming.
Bye. Thank you very much for coming to this episode. We thank you for your contribution.
Thank you.
And thank you to people that will be listening to us. We hope you listen to more episodes. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye. Alaye, you don't lose.
Hope say una enjoy the match, sha.
We don't dribble, oh.
We don't shoot our shots.
We don't tear it.
And we don't put 3 points for pockets. Till next Sunday on Red to the Bones.
Tell your friends, may they come see waiting you save don't see.